It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. The role of public water agencies when it comes to wildfire resilience in the foothills is the focus of today's Motherlode Views. We have a panel of guests, including Don Perkins with the Tuolumne Utilities District, Jessica Self with the Union Public Utilities District, CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, and Twain Hart Community Services District Fire Chief Neil Gomez. I want to thank you all for coming on today.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll start first with the two representatives from the water districts. We have, as we mentioned, from TUD, we have Don Perkins and Jessica Self with the Union Public Utilities District. Jessica, I'll start first with you and tell us a little bit about the district and what you oversee.
Good morning. I'm the general manager for Union Public Utility District, and we provide water service to the communities of Murphy's, Vallecito, Douglas Flat, and Carson Hill. And we have been around since 1946, providing water to our community.
And Don Perkins, how about TUD, a little bit of history?
Yeah, good morning. So I'm the general manager, and we're the largest utility in Tuolumne County. We serve about 44,000 people with water and sewer services. TUD was formed in 1992, but our date goes back to 1947.
Probably good to go around the table. Chief Cashy, how about you with CAL FIRE? Your role in the community.
Yeah, good morning. I'm the unit chief for the CAL FIRE Tuolumne Calaveras unit, overseeing all the CAL FIRE resources in Calaveras, Tuolumne, and Eastern Stanislaus and San Joaquin counties.
And Chief Gomez.
So fire chief of the Twain Hart Fire District, also the fire chief of the Strawberry Volunteer Fire Department.
Well, as we mentioned, this is really kind of a big conversation about water and the role of water districts and some of the challenges and concerns. I'll go back to Don Perkins with TUD. You know, what are kind of the big issues and concerns that you have as a water district this coming fire season?
Sure. Well, it's important to know first that, you know, we're primarily a water and sewer provider, and our primary role is to deliver reliable, safe water and collect and treat sewer responsibly. But we can't turn a blind eye to what's going on all over California and other states and how it's impacting water supply and water agency. So this isn't new to us. You know, what happens at Palisade wasn't an eye-opener for us up here. We've been thinking about this for many, many years, and while just thinking about it isn't enough, we've actually been doing many things to mitigate some of the impacts, but there's plenty more to do.
And Jessica Self, same question to you.
Yep, just in line with Don, but also I think in addition to what he said, you know, we have aging infrastructure, and we need to find that balance between how we're going to continue building our infrastructure to provide quality water, but also looking at the fire mitigation standpoint and what the role of our water systems do in wildfires.
And Jessica, what have been kind of historically some of the bigger challenges that you've had with the district?
Well, with our district, I think the biggest thing is affordability in relation to the aging infrastructure and making sure that we have the appropriate infrastructure that meets state requirements, state laws. But the biggest thing that's happened at Union in the past few decades that I think our community is well aware of and remembers clearly is the Darby Fire in 2001 that burned the Utica flume system in the Stanislaus Canyon, and that flume system is what feeds our community. It's the sole water source for the Murphy's community all the way down through Angel's Camp. And when that happened, and when the flume burned, it actually shut that water supply off to our community for 10 months before they were able to rebuild. So we had to think quickly and figure out how to provide water to our community during that time so we did not run out of water.
Yeah, so what did happen during that 10-month period to get people water?
That's a great question. I think, you know, water agencies really collaborated at that time to really figure out how can we all help each other. Calaveras County Water District, they have a service area just above us, their Ebbets Pass service area, so they were actually able to fill water tenders up with water and dump it into our reservoirs to keep some water going. Eventually, we were able to put in a temporary pipeline above the ground that connected their service area to our service area, so we were able to at least have some water supply to our service area. But you know, that's definitely just a temporary fix, but we were able to get by.
And Don Perkins, you know, what happened with the Darby fire? Is that something that the Tuolumne Utilities District is really trying to avoid?
Yeah, absolutely. That reality is our nightmare. You know, we don't want to go through what those folks went through over there. We, too, have a very vulnerable water supply. 95% of all the water we have here comes from a wooden flume main canal out of Lyons, right? And it's in a high-hazard area. So, you know, we're trying to do and need to do everything we can to protect that infrastructure so we can have reliable water supply.
Have there been quite a few projects in recent years to try to improve the infrastructure?
We've done quite a bit of work in collaboration with a lot of folks over the years. Back in 2015 or so, after the big bark beetle die-off, there was a lot of hazard trees removed. I forget all the partner agencies, but there was a bunch. We've done a lot of fuels mitigation work around the main canal and the flumes, but you know those vegetation grows back eventually, and we do need to do some more work. We currently have a plan. A mitigation grant through FEMA to try and harden a flume or come up with a plan of a way to harden a flume, make it less susceptible to disasters like that.
And Jessica Self, how about with your district?
What we're really looking at right now is trying to find an emergency intertie, a backup water system to feed our community if this or when this happens again. So we are working on seeking grant funding to try to look into feasibility studies on how we can do that and intertie with other water agencies.
And Jessica, we have a TUD representative here. We have a member from the Twain Hart Community Services District. Is there quite a bit of collaboration among the water districts in the Sierra Foothills?
For sure. We have good collaboration. I think it's getting even better. Within Calaveras County, the water agencies work closely together. We've actually, a few years ago in severe drought times, we created what's called Calaveras Conserves, where all the water agencies meet on a regular basis to talk about, you know, how we can work together as partners. We have mutual aid agreements set up between each other, so in times of emergencies, we can rely on each other to help out. But I think also more recently, Tuolumne County and Calaveras County and also Amador County, we have started to meet and really collaborate more, because I think the more that we're all working together, the stronger that we will be in times of emergencies.
Don Perkins, anything to add on collaboration?
Yeah, I'm glad she mentioned it, because that's a big deal for all of us. You know, we're stronger when there's more of us, and we're not just friends, we're cohorts, we work together, we share ideas, we share resources, you know, because we all have the same sort of vulnerabilities and the same sort of aging infrastructure. We have to strike that balance. So I'm really happy to have our friends across the river.
What kind of things take place behind the scenes, you know, this time of year, you know, leading up to the busy summer fire season?
Well, again, we're a water provider first, so you know, things don't really change much for us, other than like recently just completed a main canal outage where PG&E turns off the main canal for about 7 days. So we rely on stored water for that period of time, something we're plenty used to, which really kind of plays into our hand a little bit when there is a fire situation, but because we have more stored water than maybe most agencies. So other than that, just, you know, as temperatures rise, you know, the demand for water will rise. And so we maintain storage reservoirs in our tanks.
Going to bring our local fire leaders into the conversation in just a minute, but we need to take a quick break. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We're talking about the role of public water agencies when it comes to wildfire resilience in the foothills. On this weekend show, we have a panel of guests, Don Perkins with the Tuolumne Utilities District, Jessica Self with the Union Public Utilities District, Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, and Twain Hart Community Services District Fire Chief Neil Gomez. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we are planning to continue our conversation surrounding wildfires and things to keep in mind ahead of the summer fire season. There's going to be a Calaveras Forest and Fire Film Festival in Forum later this month at the Bret Hart High School Theater. There are going to be some films shown, and the free event will also have some panel discussions. We're going to get a preview from a pair of the organizers, Martin Hubberty, who is the board chair of the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors, who also leads the Visitors Bureau and Film Commission, will be on along with Marcy Powers of Arnold, who is another main organizer of the event. Tune in next week. The second segment of this weekend show is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We have a panel of guests talking about wildfire resiliency and also the role of water agencies when it comes to wildfire resilience. On this weekend show, we're joined by Don Perkins with the Tuolumne Utilities District, Jessica Self with the Union Public Utilities District, Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, and Twain Hart Community Services District Fire Chief Neil Gomez. Chief Gomez, I'll go to you coming out of the break here. You know, what's kind of your just observations and thoughts when it comes to, you know, wildfire protection and protecting that critical water infrastructure?
So, you know, for us, it's extremely important, obviously, to have water provided for fires. Our district has taken some measures to ensuring that by installing some draft points in some of our local ponds. And we're working with some of our collaborators with Twain Hart Lake to propose to do another one. So for us, you know, our hydrant systems are usually our most available water supply when it comes to supplying our engines for fire suppression.
When you look at the recent fires down in Los Angeles, you know, seeing what happened down there, do you have kind of concerns and similar things when it comes to water up in the Sierra Foothills or area, and specifically Twain Hart?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we want to make sure that we have a substantial amount of water for any type of emergency incident we encounter in our district and the county. So the main concern for us is what that looks like, what size of fire it is, and what our infrastructure could supply for that. So it's always in the back of our mind to try to get off the domestic side of the water and start finding like draft points or other means of water.
Chief Cashy, anything you'd like to add on those topics?
Yeah, so for the water supply on wildland fires, it really is a relationship that starts with the districts prior to that, being the water districts prior to the fire starts. And one of those would be TUD's providing water to the Columbia Air Attack Base, where we have our fixed-wing aircraft and our rotary-wing aircraft during the summer months. Last year, we pumped out of Columbia responding to fires with 567,000 gallons of fire retardant that was mixed with the water we received from the district. So in the past, during drought years, some of those capabilities have been discussed, but it really starts there. In addition to that, when we do respond to the wildfires, having the ability to have what we call dip sites for the rotary wing aircraft, which could cross over into, you know, potential reservoirs that the water districts have, we want to be real conscious about which ones we're pulling water from and what those impacts are going to be to the districts, which then have the end users piece. And so there's an engagement really early on in the incident to make sure that dialogue occurs, so they're aware of what we're doing and what we're using. In addition, like Chief Gomez was saying, we will look for rural type water sources outside of using fire hydrants, which is off of the domestic supply if we can. Most of the time we are fighting fire in that rural area, and so fire hydrants isn't necessarily something that we have the luxury of using. But understanding that is the main thing we use to suppress fires and the integral role they play in providing that resource to us, we do try to make sure they're real cognizant of that.
As you mentioned, fire hydrants are a challenge. You know, just water in general, what do you see as kind of the bigger challenges during the summer fire season when finding the sources? Is that a challenge?
As the summer progresses, some of the water sources that are more rural in the form of a pond or a lake, they'll be a little, you know, the water levels will drop. And some of those sources that are available early on in the summer, certain creeks that you could draft water from for fire engines may not be available, available, et cetera. So water tenders is something that Cal Fire uses specifically to help augment that resource when we are in the rural setting. And that's largely supported by partners like our local government fire districts that have the water tenders to provide for that response.
What is kind of the role of Cal Fire and other fire agencies when it comes to post-fire response and getting the water back on and making sure it's safe for everybody to get back in?
That's a great question. So during a wildfire, when an area is evacuated, which is the jurisdictional authority of law enforcement at the recommendation of the fire department based on fire behavior impacts, in order for the area to be repopulated, we have to ensure that it's safe. And if you have structures that are impacted by the fire, whether it be minor damage or fully consumed, power lines, distribution areas for other infrastructure. It has to be ensured that it's safe for the public to get back into, being that the water is safe to drink, that it's turned back on, that the power is secure. There's not the concern of having an unsecured power source that could, you know, cause harm to one of the residents, et cetera. And so we really lean on the water districts to give us that ability to repopulate with the sheriff's department in order to make sure that it's safe for inhabitants to go back.
Chief Gomez, anything you want to add about repopulation and the role of the fire department?
The only thing that I would add is during the Canyon Fire last year, it was really nice to see during the meetings in the morning having the water districts involved in those conversations because it's like Chief Cashew was saying, it's extremely important to make sure that those residents are going to be safe, have safe drinking water. So it's the relationship has been the best I've ever seen between the cooperators, and it's just always good to have their opinions at the incident command briefings.
So Chief Gomez, we're talking here in mid-May, the peak summer fire season just around the corner, specifically for people in your community in Twain Hart. You know, what advice or recommendations do you have right now to just get ready for those peak summer months?
Hardening your structure. I think that is something that we speak volumes on throughout the county, not just in Twain Hart Fire District, is the homeowners taking the responsibility to ensure that their home is ready for wildfire. And there's many resources available out them to look for these pointers and what to do to be prepared, clearing the vegetation around their property, making sure their gutters are cleaned out, ensuring that their propane tanks are clear, you know, so on and so forth. So just really, really hitting that message to start early versus starting later, because then you're already behind the power curve.
Chief Cashy, how about you? Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, Chief Gammas was said it very well in regards to, you know, homeowners, their defensible space, their ability to make sure that their home is as fire safe as it can be going into the fire season. The other thing I'd like to bring up for all residents is the awareness to what you're doing and the ability to acknowledge what you're doing that could start a fire, whether it be mowing when it's extremely dry out in the heat of the day, whether it be using a grinder, or even recreating in some of these rural areas we have. And we spoke of earlier, the water district spoke of earlier, of their infrastructure that lies along the canyon's edge that is extremely old and made of wood. And that's along the canyon where people do recreate and fish and camp in the bottom. And so having a good awareness to their behavior, to making sure they're not going to be the cause of a fire, really helps us in not having the incidents that then put us in an area where we have to have that so-called, like you said, you know, event where we have a significant infrastructure threat and that's in a topographic location that's very challenging to provide protection to.
Need to take one more break. We are talking about wildfire resiliency on this weekend's Motherlode Views, especially when it comes to wildfire resilience in the foothills and the role of water agencies as well. We have a panel of guests. We have Don Perkins with the Tuolumne Utilities District, Jessica Self with the Union Public Utilities District, Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, and Twain Hart Community Services District Chief Neil Gomez. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're looking ahead to the upcoming peak summer fire season, also having a big conversation about the public water agencies and the role that they play when it comes to wildfire resilience in the foothills. Our panel of guests today is from the Twain Hart Community Services District. We have the fire chief, Neil Gomez. We have Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy, Union Public Utilities District General Manager Jessica Self, and Don Perkins, General Manager with the Tuolumne Utilities District. Don Perkins, I'll go back over to you. The raw water drafting point plan, I know that's something that's been discussed by the TUD Board of Directors recently. What more can you tell us about that?
So, yeah, thank you. I wanted to expand on this. We touched about on a little bit earlier, but I want to expand a little bit. So this idea isn't new. One of my directors, Director Ringen, has been championing this cause for many, many years, 15 years probably. And it isn't uncommon, really, for some of the local fire agents to use our raw water source as an option for water. So what we're referring to is the district has 72 miles of open conveyance system, 100% gravity-fed water flowing it throughout the year. So what TUD wants to do and is going to do and now has done is we want to dedicate specific points along our ditches throughout the different communities as designated spots for fire suppression agencies to be able to use in firefighting efforts to augment the treated water supply in an effort, in an attempt to preserve that drinking water supply for post-fire recovery, things of that nature. So TUD just adopted a wildfire defense plan. It had two components of mitigation from fuel, hazardous fuels reductions around our critical infrastructure. But the second part is these raw water drafting points, using raw water as a source for fighting fires to help the fire suppression agencies.
Was that unique to TUD having done it that way in the past, or do other water agencies do it that way?
Well, it's not unique to TUD. It might be unique to the foothill communities like Calaveras County and Amador County and such. And Jessica can talk about it on her part. But it's not new, but we want to enhance it. We want to really kind of make it a thing where it's more commonly referred to and used versus, oh, by the way, there's a stream of water here. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but we'll use this.
So passing that, is it now in effect immediately, or is it something that is phased in over time?
Well, it was just adopted, and we will phase it in over time. We already have several sites. Chief Gemmes was talking about his raw water drafting point down at Shady Brook. And so we plan to incorporate many of those things this summer, you know, between now and summer, and throughout the next few years get the rest of it. We have about 49 planned sites. We can get 20 or so done pretty soon.
Jessica Self, anything you'd like to add from a Union Public Utilities District perspective?
Yeah, so with our district, we have a domestic, so that's treated water system, so that's our drinking water. We have a full system within our service area, and then we also have a raw water system. So they're two completely separate pipeline distribution systems. The raw water system was UPUD's original distribution system for our community, and it's made from post-World War II steel pipe. It's very old. But once UPUD in the 80s converted to a new domestic system, that raw water system was handed off to our irrigators. So since then, that system has been used solely for irrigation for farmers and ranchers in our community. We only have about 100 customers who use that system, but that system has fire hydrants on it. We also have multiple reservoirs that CAL FIRE can use to dip into for wildfires. But the challenge is that, again, we only have 100 customers that pay into that system. And treated water, which water agencies, all water agencies have, we have hydrants on those. But utilizing treated water, it's expensive. That water has already gone through the treatment plant. It is really expensive water to use for a fire. So looking at our raw water system and trying to get outside funding to help beef up that system so that it can be used for a fire suppression system could really help our community in times of wildfires.
Continuing on this weekend's Motherload Views, I'll go over to Chief Gomez with this next question, who is the chief of the Twain Hart Community Services District. You know, evacuations are always a concern during the summer fire season. You know, what tips or advice do you have people right now just getting ready for looking at evacuations?
So in support with Tuolumne County Sheriff's Department and Tuolumne County OES, we try to teach our members, whether it's through our CERT program or just having meet and greets with the public, is know your zone. And that's what we call it, is know the area you live in and know the other means of ingress and egress out of those areas. So we typically try to tell our public to pick a day, make it a Sunday or something, and use a different route home and learn all of the side roads to get to the area where you live, because the high likelihood of the visitors and tourists that we get during the summer and winter months, if we have an evacuation notice, they're going to use those main throwaways like Highway 108 to get out. So we know that those roads will be congested. So it's just encouraging the public to learn Tuolumne County and all the side roads to get to their areas.
Good advice. I'll go over to Chief Cashy. Chief Cashy, do you have any kind of early observations right now as we sit here and talk in mid-May just to what kind of the season's looking like when it comes to the fuels?
Yeah, as far as the fuels go and the availability to burn, we're looking right now what I would refer to as, for this time of year, normal, in the sense that the grass hasn't started to cure fully yet. However, it is starting on the southern slopes and where the soil is thin, starting to turn brown, which is your biggest indicator of availability to burn. And we'll see that increase over the next few weeks, putting us into fire season in those months of that we're used to, you know, June through until it rains again.
And I saw burn permits are required now if you're going to be doing debris burning?
Correct. So this time of year, we implement through Public Resource Code the permits required for burning, which is implemented May 1st. And we'll continue to evaluate those conditions as we get weather that comes in, whether it be rain or lack thereof. In addition to that, we monitor fuel moistures to determine when it is no longer safe to do so, and then we will enter into what's called a burn permit suspension for the remainder of the summer. But it's something that we're constantly evaluating through our processes to determine the best window to give residents the opportunity to get rid of their defensible space material through burning and doing it so safely until conditions warrant that it's no longer safe to.
Chief Gomez, I imagine you're encouraging people to now is the time to get your home cleaned up ahead of the season?
Yeah, so in Twain Hearts District, we also have a vacant lot vegetation management ordinance. Last week, I sent out about 119 letters just to advise residents that own those properties that we are now getting in the window for the inspections to, you know, ensure that those properties are well maintained so they don't add to fire spread if there is one, and just making sure that they're being good neighbors to the surrounding communities.
Chief Cashy, anything you'd like to say about just cleaning up vegetation, that final sprint here?
Yeah, just for residents and community members is visit readyforwildfire.org. It provides a lot of great information on how to provide the best defensible space for your home and other measures you can take to be fire safe as we enter into the busier peak fire months of the fire year.
Got a few minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. I think I'll go around the table one more time. Don Perkins, anything from TUD's perspective that you wanted to add in this conversation?
Well, I just wanted to thank you. You partnered water agencies with fire suppression agencies. I think that's was a good call on your part to put us together because we are connected. We need to work together. We are working together, and we're getting that recognition out there. And so I'm just happy to be a part of the panel and part of the solution.
Jessica Self, anything you'd like to add?
I just want to emphasize the really positive partnerships that water agencies do have with the fire agencies, the local fire districts, Cal Fire. The more that we meet and partner together, I think the better that will be during a time of emergency.
As you mentioned, there has been quite a bit of planning taking place leading up this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have, you know, ongoing meetings to collaborate and plan. And then, you know, all the water agencies, we do what we need to do prior to fire season, making sure the reservoirs are fuller than they are in the wintertime, making sure, you know, tanks are relatively full at that time, too.
Chief Gomez, anything you'd like to add?
Just for the general public, if there's any other questions on how you can get involved, there's definitely the CERT programs within the community. I highly recommend people that are interested in how they can help and volunteer and get more information about wildland fire safety or water issues. These are the groups to do so. So I would highly recommend people looking at those CERT programs to get involved with our communities.
Being the Twain Hearts chief, are the sirens going or activated this season?
So that's all ran through County OES and Tuolumne County Sheriffs. Obviously, okay. We have one on our station, and we work together with them to do those quarterly tests to get those done. So we should have one, I'm thinking, in June or July.
And Chief Cashy, anything you'd like to add as we wrap up here?
I appreciate the opportunity to be part of the discussion with our cooperators here on the panel. For the folks listening, just know that Cal Fire, your local government fire districts, or federal partners, and the other agencies in the community are gearing up and are ready for the potential of unwanted fire in our communities this year. And we have the staff and the resources to be able to provide a response.
Well, we thank all of you for coming on this weekend's Motherload Views. It was a great conversation, a mix of water agencies and fire leaders. We were joined on the program this weekend by Chief Neil Gomez with the Twain Hearts Community Services District, Cal Fire Tuolumne Calaveras Unit Chief Nick Cashy with the Union Public Utilities District. We had Jessica Self, and with the Tuolumne Utilities District, Don Perkins. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. And as mentioned earlier, we're going to continue our conversation next week on Motherload Views when it comes to wildfire preparedness and things things to keep in mind ahead of the peak summer fire season. There's a special event coming up in Calaveras County and Angels Camp later this month. It's a film festival and forum. A lot of discussions are going to be talked about at that event. Next week on Motherload Views, we're going to be talking with a couple of the organizers, Martin Hubberty, who is a Calaveras County supervisor. He also oversees the Visitors Bureau and Film Commission, and Marcy Powers of Arnold, who is one of the main organizers of that event. That's next week on Motherload Views. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.